Take your Bibles this morning, and I want you to look up two scriptures, please. First of all, I want you to look up 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, and then also Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. And again, we're going to be looking at both of these scriptures this morning. And I'm going to, myself, start off asking a question. How many people here would... Somebody's throwing candy at me. How many people here, speaking of that, would consider themselves to be in good... don't raise your hands. But how many people would consider themselves to be in good physical condition? Good, like 50 push-ups nonstop, 100 sit-ups, run a few miles. How many people would if you were to... You know, you went to your doctors and you had to fill out that little questionnaire. How would you rate your physical condition? You know, when we think about life, talking about Tim turning 29, we're allowed to ask guys how old they turned. You know, we get older and our physical condition deteriorates. You know, when we get older we have furniture problem. Our chest falls into our drawers. There's nothing we can do about it. Amen? And you say, well, Pastor, maybe there is something we can do. Well, we can do our best to stay in shape. Amen? When we get older, we should stay in. We should do something. Amen? There was a retired couple, an older couple. They got looking at each other, and they said, yeah, we need to do something. You know, we need to get out and do something. So they agreed, and they talked to their doctor, and they agreed what they were going to do is walk 2 miles every day. They agree what they do is they'd walk a mile out. That way they had no choice but to come back, right? You walk a mile out and they were going to walk a mile back. So the first morning of their great new adventure started out and they're walking and finally they ended up a mile away. And the concerned husband, you know, he was a concerned, loving husband. He turned to his wife and he says, well, how are you doing, dear? And she says, oh, I'm doing fine. She goes, are you sure you're going to be able to make it back the mile? And she goes, oh, no, I'm fine. I'm perfect. Everything's good. Are you 100% sure you're good? And she said, yes. And he says, well, good. Could you walk home, get the car, and come and pick me up, please? I'm done. I'm not going any further. God wants us, and here's the application. Well, let me ask another question first before I bring the application to that. How is your spiritual condition? How's your spiritual health? Would you say spiritually you're in good shape? Spiritually, you know, I've got spiritual muscle. Like, you know, I'm Arnold Schwarzenegger of the spiritual world. You know, I've got muscle. I've got spiritual strength. How is your spiritual condition? How is your spiritual health? We would say the physical. You know, if we don't physically walk a mile or two, if we don't physically stay in shape and make an effort to stay in shape, and there's a lot of different disciplines in life that we can do and we can practice in life to stay in good physical shape, the same thing is true for our spiritual life and our spiritual condition as well. And God says some interesting things in His Word. First of all, Philippians there. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, the Bible says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. What, Paul? You're telling us to work out. This is a spiritual workout. Look what it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Since the fall of man, entropy or decay and destruction has destroyed everything. Everything needs to be maintained. I mentioned our physical bodies. But whether you have a car, it needs to be maintained. Whether you have a home, it needs to be maintained. Every single thing in this world needs, if you will, work in order to stay in good shape. And what is going to happen when we stop working out? When the maintenance stops? When what we're supposed to be doing in order to keep something healthy and strong? We're talking about photography the other day, and I was mentioning one wedding when I used to do photography. I did, and we were driving down the road, and there's this old 1920 something car sitting in somebody's lane out in the country, and I thought, man, there's a perfect place right there to do some photos. So we didn't know who it was. We just pulled in, asked permission. So we're going to a wedding photo shoot right now. We saw your car. We thought, man, we could get some nice pictures here. Do you mind? So he let us take all these pictures. And that car, you know, 1920, in around 1920, that thing's 100 years old. You know, we just got rid of a car that was 10 years old, probably gone to the records. 100 years old. How did that car get to be 100 years old? Did it just, you know, was it just an exceptional car? Was it exceptional when it came off the line? It was just that one in a million that was going to last 100 years? No, because somebody has maintained it. Somebody has worked on it. Somebody has put some time and some effort into making sure that that car has maintained itself, and they've kept it what they needed to put into it. They've kept it in good shape. And you see, in our spiritual lives, you know, we might look at someone, oh, they've been saved for 10 years, but they're looking old and, you know, maybe ready for the wreckers. And then you can see somebody else that's been saved for 10 years and they're strong and they're vibrant and they still, you know, they're fresh and the joy of salvation is still in their heart and they're serving God and they're doing all of these different things. And we have to ask ourselves, why? What is the problem with one life, and what is the problem with another life? Well, someone has realized that in their spiritual lives, if they want to maintain a strong spiritual life, it's going to take some work, an effort. And that's why Paul here to the Philippians says that you're to work out your salvation. Work it out. There's an old saying, you know, buyer beware. There was a guy who bought a car, and he probably should have asked maybe for another opinion, I guess. But you're young, and you know, you're exuberant. Look at this car; it looks so nice. It was actually a van, but. He bought this car and this van. He brought it home, and one of the guys I was with went over. He was a body man, and it was a what you call a 30-foot car. You know what I mean when I say a 30-foot car? Does anybody know what that means? Okay, it looks good at 30 feet away. So we got a little closer, and this guy Steve that I was with was a body man. And he started looking around, and he could see through everything. And so when we walked away, you might have heard this expression. He said, "Mop and glow." There's a lot of people out there that will take an old rundown car, and they will do what they call a mop and glow. So what they do is they just fill all the holes with Bondo, and do every little bit of little work that they can to make the car look like it's really beautiful, glowing, you know, quick little fix-up. And so standing back from the car, you look at it, it looks so nice. But it won't last. It won't last. Hit a few bumps, the Bondo will fall out. And the cheap paint job and you know, all of the little things that they've done to make this thing look really nice aren't going to last. And you see, even in our Christian life, as Christians, we can be just like that van. You know, we can come to church and we can do a little mop and glow before we show up, and we can look shiny and we can look good. But if we're not following God's workout program, we're not going to be the strong Christians that maybe we're appearing to be to other people. We know how to put on the facade. We know how to put on the show. But deep down, we know that we're just not what we are really supposed to be. And when the storms of life come, and when the problems of life and age and falling apart and all the other things that come with life happen, we're going to be no different than that van, and we will fall apart. The question I'm going to ask you this morning is simply this: what does your spiritual life look like on the inside? What does it look like? Are you strong? Are you spiritually strong? Is your physical condition to the place where it should be? There was a guy who went to the doctors and he said, "Listen, I just want some advice. I want to start to get in shape." The doctor looked at him. He said, "Sorry, you're not in good enough shape to even get in shape." Some of us are in bad condition spiritually. God wants us to be powerhouses for Him, and He wants us to be strong for Him. And God has a workout plan. And if you're willing to follow God's workout plan, you can be a strong, vibrant Christian. You can be strong, and you can be full of energy and zeal and be able to move forward in your spiritual life if you're willing to follow His plan. And it's not a mop and glow. And which means basically it's going to take work. You can't, no quick ways, no shortcuts to spiritual strength in your spiritual life. It's going to take work. And that's why Paul admonished the Philippians to work it out. Work it out. If you got 1 Timothy chapter 4, and if you're able to, we'll stand together for the reading of God's Word. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. And the Bible says there, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this opportunity to be here this morning. And we thank You that You've given us the instructions. You've given us a plan to be strong and healthy Christians. And Lord, I pray that we would each and every day determine and desire to spiritually work out and to build our strength and our endurance in the Christian life. So, Father, bless for Your glory. We'll thank You and praise You in Jesus' name, and amen. I want you to notice there in 1 Timothy chapter 4, he says that we are to exercise ourselves rather onto godliness. You know, we can spend a lot of time doing a lot of things. And here it's talking about gossip. People can spend a lot of time on the phone gossiping, you know. And he says, listen, rather than worrying about other things, exercise, or in your life, exercise yourself rather onto godliness. And he says, bodily exercise profiteth little. Now, I'm not going to tell you that there's nothing wrong with being in physical shape. Or physical exercise. I believe it's absolutely necessary. I prescribe it in counsel. I prescribe physical exercise. One of the best ways to beat depression, anxiety. If I get all stressed out, first thing I want to go for a run. I want to go out running. And I don't have as much of that as I used to, but, you know, I only run a couple miles going rather than 5 miles. All my is gone at 2 miles now. Amen? My get up and goes got up and went, and it's not coming back as fast as I would like it to be. But we are to exercise, and the idea there of profiting little, again, it isn't that it's wrong. The Bible doesn't say it's wrong. but it has no spiritual value. And like he goes on to say, we can't take it into the next life. But the only thing that we can take into the next life is our spiritual condition. We will take our spiritual condition, all of what we've done for God, all of the service for God, our thinking and our acting, all that we do for God. Those are the things that are going to be, as the Bible says, profitable for the next life. Because bodily exercise has very little profit for the next life. It's just not worth it. So he says, listen, I've got a workout program. You've got to exercise yourself in godliness. And if you want to maintain a healthy Christian life, there's a few things that you need to learn. First of all, there's a healthy diet. We need to have a healthy diet. We live in a world that is getting more and more and more and more perverse with every passing day. And I know I mentioned this quite a bit, but I'm going to kick that horse or whatever the saying is and going by again. But you know, Hollywood is so corrupt. And the funny thing is, you know, today we can, again, we look back at the old stuff and, oh, it's fine, we can watch some of that old stuff. You know, even 100 years ago, not quite, 190 years, we're getting old, when Hollywood kind of started up, Christians didn't have anything to do with it. Even when we, as today, we think it's clean. You know, those people, the people in Hollywood have, they live corrupt lives. They're corrupt people. And when we look at where it is today, and which is really funny because Christians today seem to accept Hollywood and entertainment more now, considering how corrupt it is compared to what it used to be. You know, it's not getting any better. And so when we think about junk food, we can sit and we can pour Hollywood into us all week long. I'm just going to ask, I'm not even sure what's out there anymore. I don't watch TV. Is the stuff that's out there, is it profit? Honestly, I'm asking you this question. Is it profitable for your marriage? Do they teach profitable things on sitcoms today that's going to help your marriage? Attitudes towards one another and what, you know, just whatever. Are you going to watch things that are going to be profitable for your spiritual life? Do we ever see that? Do we see things that are going to be in any way profitable for you? Oh, sure, it's funny. But the morality and the humor and all of the different things, they're not profitable. It's junk food. In fact, a lot of it is just pure bad for you. It's just pure bad for you. So we, as Christians, we think, you know what, I'm okay. I remember one guy said one time, you know, he would only come Sunday mornings, and he says, you know, if you can't get all you need for the week in one service, then we're not getting fed the way we're supposed to be. You know, if I had it my way, we'd be, well, maybe not because I'd be doing the preaching, but shouldn't we be listening to preaching every night? Amen. Instead of turning the television on, just get some tapes out. Some don't even know what tapes are. CDs, get on the internet to the right places, listen to some preaching, listen to some good things, some things that's going to be healthy for you. You know, the right diet, the things that we should be taking in are all in this book. This is the diet book. Amen? The healthy diet book. This is the stuff that God has given to us. This is what God's given to us. And if we are not in the Word of God, or should I say, hearing the preaching of the Word of God, if we are constantly ingesting our bodies or putting stuff into our bodies that's worldly and unprofitable and even contrary to the things of God, listen, you can't expect to watch 30 hours of garbage and then think 1 hour of good preaching, if you ever get good preaching, is going to help you get through the week. Amen? We can't sit down on one day, you know, one day of the week and say, well, I'm going to eat, you know, quinoa and you know, Brussels sprouts. Amen? Brussels sprouts and all the good stuff for you. Now you can't eat eggs again. I know sometimes they were good, then they're bad. Now they're bad again because they got all this bad stuff in them. So it keeps changing. But we you know, nice healthy. We can't sit down and eat one healthy food, you know, plate of food, and then think for the rest of the week I'm going to eat potato chips and pop. Right? How many people think that works? Does anybody know? So can we eat two healthy, you know, meals a week, and then we can eat the Pepsi or drink the Pepsi and eat the Doritos and the greasy cheeseburger and French fries, deep fried French fries, all that good healthy stuff. And you know, you're saying, Pastor, those we know that's not the way it works. And you know, I always say there's nothing wrong with eating a cheeseburger. Amen. Kind of hope that's on the menu for this afternoon. But there's nothing wrong with eating. But you've got to eat healthy, right? Eating good food, eating healthy. And if in our spiritual life we think, well, because I went to church and listened to an hour of preaching, or because I read my Bible this morning, I got some good nutritious stuff this morning, I can go out and take all the junk of the world and listen to it and watch it and allow the world to destroy my spiritual health, we're going to find ourselves in a dead end. We're going to end up going a mile and we're not going to be able to move back. We're not going to be able to get back. God has given us the book. He's given us the Word of God, and it is our spiritual diet. It is our spiritual health food. The Word of God is again our manual to how to not only have a strong and a healthy relationship with God, but with our children and with our spouse, to share the gospel with others, to win victories over sin, and to give us comfort and strength. The Word of God is that spiritual health food. The Bible says in Romans chapter 16 and verse 19, "For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good." And he said this, "and simple concerning evil." In other words, he says you can't fill your minds all week long with evil, with garbage, and then think because you've taken in some good along with it, everything's going to be okay. He says you got to just stay away from it. Don't even put that stuff in your body. Keep it away, and you'll be spiritually strong. Everything in the world has a manual to follow. And when I talk about that, I like to always say this, that, well, let me ask you a question. What do you do when you open something up that has a manual? What do you do with the manual? Throw it in the garbage. Maybe I'm crazy. I keep all my manuals. I've got them all outside. Well, depending on what it's for, I keep all my manuals. And usually when I sell something, I sell it with the manual. And you see sometimes in Kijiji or wherever things are advertised, Facebook or whatever today, you know, people will advertise with manual. And you ask yourself, why would somebody mention that it has a manual? I know a lot of things today have digital manuals. You just put them on your computer. But a manual is something that is given to you not only so that you can put it together. You know, I like that little thing, some assembly required. Well, you know, what that really means in English is call an engineer. And we have a manual because whatever we're buying needs to be maintained. Oh, you know what? What kind of oil? I don't know. Is it 10W30? Is it, you know, 5W20? What is it? What kind of oil does it take? We've got to know what kind of health food to put into it. We've got to know how to keep it strong and working right so that, you know, it may not last 100 years, but it's going to last. It's going to continue to be strong and continue. You know, things have to be kept up or they're going to wear down. And manuals are there so that we know what part we need to order, if we need to order a part. We know whatever we need. And the Word of God is the same way. It is what is going to help us to be strong. It is what's going to help us to be healthy and maintain and continue to be able to serve God. It's the manual. People go to prison. Today, things are really different. You're not allowed to call them inmates, and they're not guards anymore. They're workers, and they're counselors and all these other things. But now you're not punishing criminals. That's why criminals used to go to prison. It was punishment. Now they're going there for rehab. Let me ask you this question. If we were all a bunch of criminals, you're going, Pastor, you don't know the half. If we were all a bunch of criminals this morning, and we all were stuck in this room for 20 years together, what do you think is going to be, what's the word I'm looking for? What's going to be the common denominator or common theme between all of us? Obviously, we're criminals, right? So Marcel, you're a criminal. You robbed the bank, you got caught. I robbed the bank, I got caught. Let's figure out what we can do better so next time we don't get caught. You know, the criminals, you know what I call prison? Criminal school. They're all in there trying to figure out how to get better so they don't get caught the next time. They're learning from each other. What kind of influences are you putting them in with? Yeah, the same. That's great. Yeah, they're really good, bad influences on each other. It's not rehab. So they get out of prison and they learn how to be what? Better criminals. So when we come as God's people, and this is why, folks, I love being in church. You know, we're not perfect. None of us are perfect, but we come together, you know, and I hope we sharpen each other. And we can kind of learn and become better Christians. It's like going to the gym. And that's going to be one of my next points. You go to the gym, and hopefully you walk out of the gym in better shape than you came in. And that's what should happen here. And that's what God tells us in His Word. And I'm jumping points here, so I'll get back to my notes, and we'll get moving along on our workout program here. So we have the manual, the Word of God. And again, the second thing in God's program is spiritual muscle. Spiritual muscle. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6 is a very interesting verse. If you want to turn there, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6. You know, in order to be strong for the Lord and have a healthy Christian life, we have to have spiritual muscle. And no matter what area of service you're in or whatever God has called you to do, we need to have that muscle. We need to be prepared to exercise that muscle. Without muscle, we can't move. We can't do anything. Galatians 5 there, in verse 16, the Bible says that we are to walk in the flesh. It says, that this I say then, walk in the flesh, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And in order to walk, we have to have muscle. We have to learn to move forward for God. You know, when we think about that spiritual muscle, it allows us to do the things that we need to do for God. Without that strength, and without building that strength, it's very, very difficult sometimes to do what we need to do for God. Just like our physical strength determines how much we can do physically, it limits us. Our spiritual strength is going to determine how much we're going to do for God. It will limit us. And so we need to understand that God wants us, through the power of God, to learn to be strong, physically, spiritually strong. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And if we are not exercising ourselves and building that spiritual muscle, and I will say this, that the Holy Spirit of God is our strength. And he alone is the one who is going to allow us to have more physical, more spiritual strength. Sorry, we can't look at our spiritual muscles, and you know we can't take some dumbbells and you know do a bench press to find out just how spiritually strong we are. But the measurement of our spiritual strength is our ability to use the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And by the way, folks. Proving that we're filled with the Spirit isn't speaking in tongues. If you look at the measure in the New Testament, you look at the measure of the spiritual strength that people had through the power of the Holy Spirit, it was always measured in their service for God, in their witness for God, and in their power to do great things for God. Everyone in the New Testament who was filled with the Spirit of God, and that's the idea, the strengthening of the Spirit of God. Everyone that was filled with the Spirit of God went out and did great things for God. Someone that has no muscle can't go out and start a church, and somebody that has no spiritual power can't go out and witness for the cause of Christ and lead people to the Lord. People can't do anything for God if they don't have the strength. And if we want the strength, we need to be filled with the Spirit of God. So the next thing in God's workout plan is for us to be filled with the Spirit of God. We all have, all saved people have all of the Holy Spirit. It's not a matter of getting more of the Spirit, but it's about the Spirit getting more of us. We need to allow the Spirit to take control. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, and that brings us to point number 3, and that's the gym, God's gym. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. If we want to be physically strong, we've got to continually and consistently visit the gym. And there we will exercise and maintain our bodies and strengthen our bodies. And we've got to do all of these things. We've got to do all of the things we can. And again, as I mentioned, that with those inmates, we've got to have the right influences. And going to the gym is where you're going to find people that are going to help you and help each other in their physical perfection quest. But God's gym doesn't have mirrors all over the wall for us to admire our spiritual strength and our spiritual condition. God's gym is a place where we learn to see less of ourselves and more of Him. Hebrews 25 says, not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. And the importance of church. Church is God's gym. Church is the place where God knows that when Christians come together, they're going to be edifying one another, and they're going to be strengthening one another, and we're going to be perfecting our spiritual walk. The Bible says there that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Now, this little phrase here in that verse that says, and so much more as you see the day approaching, there may be different ways that people look at that scripture, but I think it's clear. Does that mean church attendance is more important today than it was 100 years ago, or 1,000 years ago, or 2,000 years ago? Well, in a way, it kind of does, but church attendance is always important. It's always been important. But what it's saying, and this is what I believe, is that the closer we come to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us that it's going to get worse. There is no real sign. There's no sign of that coming. There is of the consummation when he comes at the end of the tribulation period. But right now, there's no sign when that the tribulation and the return of Christ is going to come. We just know that it's coming. But one thing we do know with all certainty is that as that day approaches, the world is going to get worse. And this goes back to my early point of entropy and everything getting worse. Everything gets worse, right? Ladies, your hair in the morning is worse than it was when you went to bed. Amen? A couple husbands are going, our bodies aren't what they used to be. Nothing. Your car. Wouldn't it be nice if you could buy an old car and it became new? Wouldn't that be nice? Everything's just getting worse. And you know, even we as human beings, evolutionists say, well, there's proof of evolution because we're losing our wisdom teeth. Well, losing isn't evolution. Losing is losing. You know why we're losing things? Because we're getting worse. Because we've got DNA inside of us, and it's the blueprints. Like the Bible's the manual. We have blueprints, and the blueprints that are in that DNA to build life, to build, to reproduce and build more life. You know what? My kids don't have the blueprints that I have. They're even more messed up now. They've been photocopied, and now they're photocopied again. And it's getting a little dimmer. And so, you know, basically what's happened as we walk along in life, all that stuff is falling out of us. Our DNA is just falling out of us. And, you know, when you get to the end of the trail, there's not going to be much left. So the more and more and more we live, and this is a scientific fact, we're getting, our DNA, our genetic code is getting more messed up, and it's getting more messed up, and it's getting more and more messed up. And so everything decays. Everything gets worse. We're not getting better. We're not evolving. And I say all that to say this. In our spiritual life, the world is getting worse, and our bodies are getting worse. The world is going to get worse. It is not going to get better. People are not going to get better. It's not going to happen. Unless the laws of thermodynamics can somehow be reversed. See? There's an example right there. Someone's in trouble. I didn't even plan that illustration either. So we're getting worse. Now, Paul says that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but so much more as ye see the day approaching. In other words, as you start to see things getting worse and worse, the more we need each other. And the more we need to come together as Christians and be a church. Because the world is getting worse. And this is where I am, again, in my mind. As the world is getting worse, the church should be pulling farther away from it. Shouldn't really that be the way it is? But yet, the church just follows along. We don't want to be too different. We don't want anybody thinking like we're weirdies or something, you know, doing things all different than everyone else. But the world is getting worse. And God says that the worse things get, the more important it is because of that. You need it more than ever. You need that health food. You need the strengthening. You need the gym. Because the older you get, the harder it is to stay in shape. So the older you get, and if you will, I'll say this, what Paul's saying there is that the older you get, the more you need to exercise. And the older we're getting as people, the older man is, and the closer we're coming to Jesus Christ's return, the more we need We need each other. Amen? We need each other. And we need the diet, God's diet. We need that good, healthy, spiritual food. So he says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but the so much more as you see the day approaching. Listen, you know, folks, people, we need three to thrive. Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. We need three to thrive. You can't go through the week in this world, this awful, God-forsaken world, without the church, without the gym, if you want to maintain a spiritual health. We need to exercise. Work out your own salvation. Exercise ourselves, rather, onto godliness. This is God's program. Where, folks, did the Holy Spirit show you this morning? Where did He show you that you needed a little bit of work? Where is it that this morning you would say, you know what, Pastor, I'm not getting the right diet. I'm not getting, you know, the power of God. I'm not. The Holy Spirit is just. Or maybe you're saying, you know what? I need to get to church. I need to be faithful. We need the church. We need each other. If God is showing you something this morning, we're gonna have an altar call. If you need to come, you come down to this old-fashioned altar and you just make a commitment to God. You know what, God? I'm gonna take my spiritual health a little more serious this morning. Again, I've spoken to Christians this morning. But if you're here and you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we need Him. We're sinners and we need a Savior. And there's no greater place than this place to say, Lord, I'm a sinner and I need Christ. If you need to put your faith and trust in Christ, you come forward. We'll maybe have the altar call and we'll have somebody take the Bible, show you how to be saved. May God help us to learn to love Him and be all we can be for His sake. Father, thank You for this time together. Would You bless? I just ask that You would work in hearts. We're going to have an altar call. Lord, You just do what You need to do. And may people respond to what You're leading them to do. God, we'll praise You for Your goodness. We'll praise You for Your grace. We'll praise You in Christ's name. And amen. Let's stand to our feet as we have a song of invitation.